newly elected members of Congress are going to be sworn in on Capitol Hill tomorrow, and the 114th Congress will begin. This time, Republicans control both the House and Senate. That's a first in 8 years. So we want to find out about those new members, how they might shape the conversation in Washington, and what's on the front burner for Congress in this new year. Here to guide us through, from the vantage point of Washington, D.C., is NPR politics editor Charlie Mattesian. Hello, Charlie.
Hi, Lisa.
So please start us off with some of these new members. We have more women and more minorities in Congress this time around than any other. Republicans, again, as we said, in control of both the House and Senate. Which members are you going to be watching in this Congress?
Well, I mean, leaders like Speaker John Boehner and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell are always key players to watch because they're the party figureheads and they also set the agenda. But there are a few recently elected members of Congress who are fascinating in their own way, and I think they're worth watching because they could make a mark. On the House side, for example, there's Utah Republican Mia Love, who's the first black female member of the Republican Conference. Then there's Florida Democrat Gwen Graham, who's the daughter of the former senator and governor of Florida. And she was one of the few Democrats last year who knocked off an incumbent Republican. I think if you were to look over at the Senate, 2014 was such a strong Republican year that most of the newcomers are Republican. And among that class of incoming members, one of the most interesting is Cory Gardner of Colorado. He's going to be one of the youngest members of the Senate. And I think his style of conservatism played very well in a swing state. And by knocking off Democratic incumbent Senator Mark Udall in Colorado, which is a state where Republicans have really struggled recently, he's automatically marked and catapulted into the national spotlight.
So when you watch them in the spotlight, what particular issues, for instance, for Cory, would you be looking for action on?
Well, I think when you look at Gardner, he's from a state where energy policy is really critical, and I think that's an area where he could make a mark. I think he was also very deft in his handling of social issues in the 2014 campaign. That was an area where Republicans nationally, but also particularly in Colorado, have struggled and have put forth a face that didn't always reflect well on the party. And I think those are areas where Gardner excelled in the 2014 campaign. And I think that's why he's going to get some interest in Washington, because of the way he can speak to those issues.
Okay, so those are the freshmen, the newbies. How about talking about a couple of the legendary members who are not going to be around this term? John Dingell, for one, long-term member of the House. Carl Levin, he served 36 years in the Senate.
Well, as you mentioned, John Dingell's retirement is notable. He was the longest serving member of Congress in history. That's American history. Keep in mind, that was a guy who was first elected to Congress in 1955 when Dwight Eisenhower was president. So I think that's a loss for Congress. But it's not an overstatement to say Congress lost some other legendary and idiosyncratic characters, not to mention a few of its most productive lawmakers, people like Democratic Congressman George Miller and Democrat Henry Waxman of California, who were two of the last members from the historic class of Watergate babies who were elected in the wake of the Watergate scandal. In the Senate, another departure that I think has been noticed is the retirement of Oklahoma Senator Tom Coburn, who is known to many people as Dr. No, in part because he was a physician, but also because of his principled conservatism and his longstanding opposition to wasteful federal spending.
Okay, so with the new blood coming into this Congress, I wonder if you can talk about one of the big buzzwords for the last Congress, and that was compromise, maybe talked about more than acted on the last Congress. Both houses, as we said, are in Republican-controlled. President Obama, of course, is a Democrat. What issues are leaders in both the House and Senate talking about when it comes to compromise?
Well, it's a new year and a new Congress, so there's always reason for hope, right? I think after the election, we've seen congressional leaders and the president express their desire for good relation and also for compromise on areas where they can find common ground. Of course, the problem, though, is that there aren't that many areas that are considered common ground anymore. I think if you look at some specific issues on the horizon, immigration and immigration reform and the Keystone XL pipeline figure to be thorny, but you could see some compromise on areas like tax reform or on trade agreements, areas where there's lots that the two sides can agree on.
So as far as the issues themselves go, beyond the ones that you've talked about, what's at the top of the list for this incoming Congress?
Well, I think the Senate has some high-profile confirmations on its plate, including Loretta Lynch for Attorney General. But more broadly, as I mentioned, there's immigration reform, Keystone XL oil pipeline and broader energy policy. There's trade policy to work on, tax reform, tweaks to Obamacare, not to mention efforts to kill it. I think there is a short-term cliff of some kind on the horizon where there's a need to come up with a plan to fund the Department of Homeland Security majority by the end of February. And all that before some of these other cliffs come up, there's the question of increasing sanctions against Iran if ongoing nuclear negotiations fall through. I mean, what we've seen is Republicans, including this weekend on the Sunday shows, suggesting that they'll take up a new Iran sanctions bill this month. And it appears to have some Democratic support, at least. And that would certainly put Congress at odds with the administration on that very, very complicated and sensitive issue.
And we're going to be talking about that very issue next. In fact, NPR Politics editor Charlie Mattesian, thank you very much.
Thanks, Lisa.